Welcome to Relevance for Today, a show where you will be encouraged, inspired, and fed through the Word of God. You will find relevant teachings, tips, discussions, interviews, and more for both believers and even non-believers who are considering salvation through Jesus Christ. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey folks, Steve Lewis. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Relevance for Today. It's great to have you watching the show. And as you can see, I am in a different location because I am on set at Dr. Matt Carpenter's house in his studio. And he's the founder, him and his wife, of In His Image Ministries, an amazing ministry. We're going to hear all about that. We're going to hear some great stuff. He's also our pastor at Agape Christian Fellowship. So hey, Pastor Matt, thank you for being on the show and inviting me over to your house.
Well, thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had any choice in the matter whatsoever, but I'm glad you're here. And thank you for letting me be on your show.
Yeah, appreciate it. So we are here, like I said, in his studio, which is really cool, being in a different studio. But at the same time, hey, Relevance for Today. Not only in our studio at home, but hey, we can be at other people's location. That's pretty good. So today I wanted to have this amazing man of God on the show so we could find out more about him. I want the world to know who Dr. Matt Carpenter is. And so I'm going to start by saying, tell us a little bit about yourself. Start from there because I'm going to pluck you dry with all kinds of questions.
Ouch, is that like a chicken? Or?
Yes, pretty much.
Bark, bark.
How long have you been in the ministry, for starters?
Long time. Been pretty well involved in ministry since I was a kid. And growing up that way, I was brought up that way.
Yeah.
In an apostle's house, who was an evangelist at the time, a church planner. And so I was exposed, and I thank the Lord for that, that I was able to be brought up in a righteous home. And, of course, I was encouraged to make my own decision to follow Jesus, right? And I did that when I was 8 and 9. But I didn't know anything else, you know. 8, 9 years old. Come on, right?
Like, yeah.
So, I mean, how bad can you get, though, nowadays? Oh, boy, 8, 9-year-olds could be brought up in all kinds of things, and and it's rough on them. But I was blessed of the Lord and able to be brought in that home atmosphere, and as a result, it set my whole course that I didn't have to undo a lot of things.
Nice.
I just had to deal with, I was impatient, and you know, the Lord had to deal with all that. Everyone has their own journey and their own story, don't they?
Yeah.
Of what they're dealing with. But my story was that. And so I've seen a lot come and go in the body of Christ. A lot of fads and different things come and go. Some good, some bad. And just been exposed to that. And always had to watch a bitterness wouldn't come in my heart. Because when you see garbage, you go, oh, that's like, that's what Christians are about. No, I never walked that path because I chose not to play that mind game.
Amen.
Yeah. So, you know, after Bible school and then during Bible school, you know, probably late 80s, that's when I really started beginning to preach the word. In that aspect. So a lot of times I play a few musical instruments. So that was my ministry extent. Earlier was playing music, part of the worship band, setting up gospel tents, setting up tables, chairs when we were in hotels, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
But when about the Bible school time, late 80s, graduated from that, that's when I started moving out more into what you'd probably call full-time in that way.
Nice.
Traveling and doing whatever. So
yeah, that's awesome. Mm. When did you know, though? Because, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the old saying where we can grow up on the coattails of our parents.
Correct.
And ride on the coattails, go to church, do everything, but then we get dumped out in the real world. When did you know that God had called you into ministry in general?
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, growing up as a teenager, I had some sense that I would be in ministry. But I didn't have a clue what that would have been or how that would have looked like. My father was a model. He was a mentor. He is my spiritual father as well. So with that dynamic there, you model, they're modeling it. Well, I'm going to be like him.
Yep.
Though in reality, we don't become like him, but that DNA is there.
Yeah.
And so I knew I was going to be in ministry of some sort, but in my high school years, I was going for a career of architect. So I never went to college because I'll tell you in a second. But in high school, I was taking all those type of courses that were preparing me to be an architect.
Mm-hmm.
Blueprint reading, drafting, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Little did I know, part of my mantle as apostle later in life, that started coming out as an architect of lives, mm-hmm. architect of strategy for the kingdom of God. But at that time, amen. That was where I was going to go as far as a professional sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so then as I was holding jobs and working and just living life, right, to save money, to do whatever, it was like one day Dad came to me and said, have you ever thought about going to this Bible school? I never even thought about going to Bible school.
Mm.
You think it's strange, but it was like I was just trying. I mean, I'm 18, 19. I'm just trying to get out in the real world, holding a job. I was a meat cutter and all that kind of stuff. But it was like something exploded inside that was the thing I was to do.
Yeah.
So I was preparing to, I was saving to go to become an architect. I was going to go to a university for that. A trade school, I think, at the time held those courses that I needed. But it was like I knew in my knower, I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was it. And I started going down that road and checked out a few things and ended up going where I ended up going. But that's how I knew the call of God was there,
yeah.
But it was morphing about my late teens, 18, 19, as far as education, skill training. Mm-hmm. Let's upgrade.
Yeah.
Don't think you know it all when you arrived.
That's important.
I had to upgrade some stuff, like prepare me for the future.
Yeah.
And so that was about that time what was happening.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, because the call then started looking more than serving God in some capacity. It mm-hmm. kind of took out some mystery and it started getting more specific and closer to home. For me, that was my story.
Right. And it was honing in.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you know, some key things that Dr. Matt said was when he was growing up, he was helping set up chairs. He was helping set up tents. He was doing all these different things. You were definitely showing examples of serving.
Sure.
Serve where you're at. And you'll grow just in that, just being a humble servant and doing those different things.
Working another man's vision
mm-hmm.
and supporting that to make that become as successful as it could be.
Yeah, and that was your dad's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's your dad?
Don Carpenter.
Yes, you guys remember him.
He's out of Canada. Yeah, you had him on the show.
Yeah, had him on the show
one time.
Last year we did the podcast.
He's awesome. He just came back from England and Uganda. He's still traveling at almost 80, huh?
I was about to say, how old is he now?
Yeah, almost 80, coming up this year.
Wow, that's awesome. Going out, and he has an apostolic calling on his life
mm-hmm,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll be heading out with him next year. So
nice.
Finishing up some things that I have to deal with. And as I'm finishing up those mandates, it frees me up, right, to mm-hmm. travel a little bit more. So
yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. And, you know, for some of the viewers watching or even our folks that are listening, talking about, you know, one thing that you're going to hear a lot about is the fivefold ministry. And that's one of the things that Dr. Matt is a part of and tapped into. And he has an apostolic calling on his life as an apostle. And how did that all come about? I know that's a lot to ask right now, but you went to Bible school. Then what happened?
Yeah. And you know what I found just before I get into that mm-hmm. things just don't fall on your lap. I'm a firm believer that you have to pursue what God has for you.
Mm.
Life does not come to a perfect place or a perfect pause so that you can become what God called you to be. You have to be developed in the midst of chaos
yes.
as well. You can be at peace, of course, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. God's peace inside, but it will never be a perfect time.
Right. That's a good
and
point.
So passion, and I begin to pursue. When you pursue, you're willing to pay the price that it requires. And then those things that are through prophetic things and whatever, those doors begin to open for you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, they receive prophecies and things from the Lord, the people from the Lord, and they think, oh, that's all going to happen. And it doesn't because they don't pursue. I'm not talking about pursuing the prophecy. I'm talking about pursuing the Lord for Amen. That direction. If you want to become a mechanic, What should you be doing?
Yeah.
You
working on cars and getting
don't be
out
working
there.
At a local restaurant or fast food joint.
Yeah.
Now raising money is one thing, but and you get trapped in there for 7 years
mm-hmm.
when your dream was I want to become a mechanic. You do whatever it takes to get to that
yeah.
place to go to the school and become a mechanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to pursue it. And so it is in the kingdom of God. I just wanted God to use me.
Yeah.
And so in those early days, my training, God used my wife and I, once we got married, of that time in our ministry. There's a lot of story in between that, but we began to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And God was open. We traveled as evangelists. And we were also teaching at the school. My dad started a Bible school ministry training center at the time, and we also were teachers there.
Nice.
Part of the administration as well. And we were there quite a few years. But in that whole time, we were still traveling as well as evangelists. And it was like we were cutting our teeth on our mantles without knowing what it was. And as evangelists, I wasn't like always coming in to get people saved.
Mm-hmm.
I was coming in to stir the church up with fire, which that's what a fivefold evangelist does. It was almost governmental evangelists in that way, stirring them to go do the work that God called them to do. Yes, I would give altar calls for salvation and healings and all that.
Yeah.
But our main thrust, little did I know at that time, that our heart was more that training, equipping, which is very apostolic, but we weren't there yet.
Right.
And we were learning bad models of leaders, great models of leaders, bad models of churches, great models of churches, ethics, how to deal with ministries, ministers, and a lot of ministers don't have ethics. They're not taught it anymore, how to treat other ministries or all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We learned all that. We learned, we have so many stories of scary stuff. We have the great rewards, miracles, what we saw. There's always both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
And so that was our cutting teeth of ministry in that capacity and the grace to travel and all that God gave us. And we began to try to build relationships. Some didn't want relationship. They just want you as the flavor of the month, but that's fine. But then outside of that, there's other ministries and people. So we met a lot of awesome, great people.
Nice.
Right? In the body. As you could tell when you listen in this interview, that I don't beat the bride of Christ. I don't beat up on the church. And I don't uncover the church. I don't reveal its blemishes to the world or to other believers. And because I don't need to elevate myself. I'm not insecure in the ministry that I carry or who I am or comparing churches or, man, I don't even what they're doing that for. We got to stay away from those games.
Yes.
And so in my whole life, I've always had that angle, that perception of flight. Of we're staying at this level. We're not going to stoop to this and get involved in all that. We're going to stay here,
mm-hmm.
always bringing people higher, lifting people higher. The next step for them, revealing their next victory. Hey, it's for you. It's possible. You know, has that faith element.
Yeah.
So we learned a lot of that personal stuff in our own. As we're traveling, we had a young family, right? Our mm-hmm. children were really small. Our children were in church at 2 and 3 weeks old. And so some of them we took on some of our trips.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we didn't do any more 3-week road trips anymore when they were that young.
Are we there yet?
No, but we're talking baby.
Take a pause break on that for a second.
Sure.
How many children do you have?
2.
And their names?
They're awesome. Caleb and Andrew.
And what about your amazing wife?
Dr. Amy.
Yes.
She's Dr. awesome.
Amy Carpenter.
Oh, yeah. She's with your wife right now.
Yeah, they're off doing Quebec City. Yes, for the big winter festival while we're sitting here in the studio working it.
Doing it, doing our thing.
Yes.
And so it's amazing. Our wives are... Who I married
mm-hmm.
made me. It did not break me.
There you go.
And so a lot of our opinions or wisdom mm-hmm. or what counseling to young couples... Don't go chasing after your spouse to be. If they're chasing God like you're chasing God,
wow.
You'll both meet God at the right intersection.
Amen.
And you don't have to go do any missionary dating. You don't have to get off your calling and go over here to grab this person and try to get them on the same page with you.
Yeah.
A lot of people can marry nice people, but it's the wrong person.
Mm.
And they destroy your ministry. They don't. Or... You marry them and don't respect their ministry.
Yeah.
And one has to submit, one has to break down, and that's not the way marriage and ministry, but that's a whole other subject. But that was probably one of the most powerful blessings of my life.
Yes.
This woman that came into my life, that God had for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm for her.
Oh, yeah. Now, we're backtracking a little bit. So one of the things that Dr. Matt said is they may have married the wrong person, but that doesn't mean if you're married now and you're looking at your spouse going,
oh,
I think I married the wrong person. No, that's not what he means.
No, that's not. Thank you. And I was going to clarify that. Thank you. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about pre-marriage. People need to be really aware of who they're marrying and get beyond all the little love sickness and all that kind of stuff and really begin to think about it and pray about it. You know, mm-hmm. and get your spiritual parents to speak into you or your mentors to get their advice on that. Yeah. You don't want to be sidetracked.
No, that's right. Because like you said, you can veer off. God's called you to go in this direction, but you end up going in this direction all the way around. And 20 years later, you finally get back to where you
could have been. I'm not encouraging someone to go divorce somebody because they think they married the wrong person.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that. That's a whole other issue. That's a different plan.
Yeah, that's a counseling.
That's a different session.
So,
yeah.
No, that's awesome. So then here you are, you're traveling now, and you've got the children with you at times, and you and your amazing wife are out there, and you're ministering to people, you're growing, you're connecting.
Yep.
What's going on? I love that. You like the way I threw that on there? So what was the next step? So the kids are growing, but when did the I feel the Lord calling us to have our own church? When did all this take place?
So I was holding a secular job doing all that while we were traveling, while we were teaching at Bible school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to kind of bring in the money. It was like, because in the traveling, as some of you, if you travel, some of you get into some of these places and they give you like $30. You know, you just travel 1,000 miles and it's $30. They didn't really, that, from my point of view, if a church doesn't have it, that's a different story. But if they have it, that shows you how much they value you.
Yeah.
And you have to weigh all that out. Though it's not about the money. If it's about the money, you would have left ministry a long time ago in a lot of instances, especially in the beginning days, if you haven't built up your income in different ways.
Yeah.
And so you had to get over those humps of discouragement or like, what is going on? Is this a real thing? And sometimes you have to move on to different fields because that one is closed down. It's just become a wasted effort. It's not good stewardship. And so you learn all these things, and wisdom started coming in. And as we do, you do what God called you to do until he tells you something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're coming into a season where God started more to Amy than to me at that time, that something else was coming on the horizon. And I wasn't aware of it.
How'd that go down?
I figured it was more of expansion of open doors, evangelist circuit that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were crossbreeding with a lot of churches. We weren't just one denomination.
Okay.
Okay, so it wasn't, we weren't busy with just one particular denomination that had so many churches. We were all different. So I was expecting, okay, well, maybe, you know, that's going to grow because that's we thrive on that. We love this. We love, and then, something's coming down the road. And she kept saying it, and I didn't know what that really meant until we got called to come and fill in here.
Okay.
Which we'll explain later where here is. But, mm-hmm. And a pastor was supposed to come because this church didn't have a pastor for about a year. And a pastor was coming to fill in, but had to do a funeral. And these people that were leaders at the time here knew about us because they had a relationship with my father who came here a couple times, right? A few times, actually. And he told them about us, but it was like 9-10 months went by. And it wasn't that we were looking for a church. And so we ended up coming here to fill in. And they asked us that night. And then we just said, wow, that was a surprise. And we were like, but when we drove into the area, the region, we knew something different about this region. We like this region. And but we thought, okay, let me go back to this just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, like 3 months before that, my parents went to a conference in Georgia and they were talking and met up with a particular family that's very well known all the way around the world. Their granddaughter, who has a church in Texas, which had grandkids in Ecuador, who had eight churches, an orphanage, and a Bible school there,
mm-hmm.
and one other ministry. And they were looking to go back to Romania. They can speak eight languages, everybody in this family. And they wanted to go back to Romania. And there was this conversation about Amy and I somehow. We weren't even at this And they were open to us coming to Ecuador to check things out, for them to get to know us. We never even had a conversation with them, and we never did. But it was like, so, okay, so they come back and told us about that. We're gearing up to get ready to have this conversation with this couple who's running all this in Ecuador. And we figure, okay, Amy, looks like we might be going to Ecuador to have a sit down or meet in Texas or something to have this conversation. Because we knew God was up to something. And often when God leads you from one thing to the other, or a transition in ministry of what that looks like, there's always a stirring in your spirit that something is happening. Mm-hmm. You can't get your finger on it, but you know something is happening. And I always use this analogy. If God is a fisherman and we're the fish, he uses a lure that gets our attention. Mm. And he throws it into the water of life because he knows that'll get your attention. And he starts reeling it, and you start changing your direction to chase this lure.
I like that.
The thing is, with God, what he used to begin your journey, when you get a hold of it, it's not the same thing. Mm. Because the thing that he wanted you to get a hold of might be too big, or you might cannot understand it. So he uses something else that you do understand that gets your interest, to get you moving, to believe, to have faith, to make decisions that's going to align with that.
Yeah.
And I'm chasing this, but all of a sudden, whoop, left the water and something else is right there, but you still know it came from the fisherman.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. It was like God knows that within us is nations. I love going into people groups. If I can't go to their nation, get me in your church. I love going into, I don't care, use a translator. I've preached many times translator. I just we just love and thrive on other cultures and other, that was always in us. Mm-hmm. And so this wasn't too far away from what we enjoyed.
Gotcha.
Because I was preaching in Hispanic churches and everything else. And so, I mean, I have a blast with them. And we were just, it's already there. And God used that to catch our attention. But it wasn't for there, it was for here.
Wow.
Because some of these steps are so big, and you wonder, well, it's too big a step. And you get discouraged, and you won't make the decision. And you step back, you hold back your faith. And so God tries to shorten the gap to something that you can at least, with faith, believe.
Gotcha.
But with God, once you jump over the cliff, he takes you farther than when you thought you were going to land. He took you just a little bit. You land farther.
Yeah.
Because you're in God at that point, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, surely I'm going to land right here, 20 feet. No, he takes you 100 feet before you land.
Literally.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah,
and so that's what began to happen, all that stuff. It doesn't happen because we weren't chasing. We weren't dissatisfied where we were. We weren't trying to get away somewhere and grab the first opportunity that came.
Right.
When you hear God, and it bears witness. Mm. Your spirit quickens inside you. It's like you're a baby leaping in you for the women. They can understand that. But there's this, and you know, boy.
Yeah.
But you don't know how it's going to turn out. But boy, you know this moment, you can't miss it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what was happening time and time. And as we came here, and then we went and sought the Lord, and they sought the Lord, and we came back together and said, this is what the Lord says. And they said the same thing. And next thing, so you know what's happened. Well, then God's got to provide so that we can get here, blah, blah, blah. And you move, and here we do. We ended up here in northern Maine.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
From the Maritimes in Canada.
So that's where you were.
Because I'm Canadian. Yeah. I'm a dual citizen now. It's
Canadian, eh?
I was a Canadian. I cross-border shopped and bought my wife. They say buy it because
if you
bring American into Canada, you had to pay all these fees to get her landed immigrant stuff. Anyway,
yeah.
Back in the day, they don't do that now. I don't know.
They do now. That's powerful.
So I don't know if that answered your question, but that was a big transition point to recognize.
Yeah, and what I liked about what you shared is you also taught as well when you were sharing about yourself, because you were actually talking about like the fishing thing. That is so true. The lure looks this way. You're going after it, like me with the food pantry for 13 years, but I was doing all this evangelistic stuff the whole time. And the big picture appears when I finally get my podcast show and TV show and reaching people all around the world. So I 100% get it. And that's the same thing for you folks out there as well.
Yeah.
You know, when God calls you to do something, look for that welling up. Like Dr. Matt said, that welling up, that drive that you're going to have, and that hunger for chasing after God. And so just to let you folks know, this is going to be a two-part a two-part episode. We're going to do this first part. I just wanted to get Pastor Dr. Matt out there and get to know you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the next one, we're going to talk about his books. He's got books. He's got a TV show, podcast, all kinds of good stuff. But before we let him go and before we close this episode, so you started pastoring a church.
Yeah.
And, but still with the apostolic calling, with the apostle side of things.
Yeah.
Give us a little peek at that situation.
The design always was to raise up others and release them into their ministry of God called, whether it was a marketplace or whether it was in the church, home, wherever, their career. It was always to equip and train them and actually implement. Like, just don't talk about it. Do it.
Yeah.
And so that was always part of the strategy and the element, not knowing where it was stemming from at the time.
Okay.
It was just our way we did ministry, right? Yeah.
So
that apostolic was not even on the scope yet in that way, because we didn't recognize the beginning days of what actually the mantle was maturing all this time. Didn't even know it.
So it was more than just, okay, I just got to start preparing these sermons for every Sunday. There was a different hunger inside.
Yeah, no, everything had to make sense why we were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we were creating, moving it from an old model to a hub model, more of that, well, it's an apostolic hub is what it ended up being. And it's still maturing all the time because it hasn't reached its destiny yet.
Yeah.
Right. The church, the local church here. So it encompasses that whole fivefold, that pastoral element for your community, that evangelistic for your nations and the community, the prophetic for the breath of the Spirit of God and the fire of God, and the teacher to bring the word of God to teach, you know, without shame, be not ashamed. You know,
yes.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. And then that apostolic mantle of just we touch business people and things in our community and in our church we have a lot of business owners. So what are they doing? They're apostolic, really, a lot of them, with their callings in the business field. So, I mean, you see all those elements, and it began to shape and form in those early days.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're reaching out more. You're touching more than just the local community.
Yeah.
And that's where that apostolic side, that apostolic mantle that you have is you've got other churches that have linked arms with you. Which is amazing, which we're going to talk about in the next one.
Yeah. My joy is to see other people walk in their calling.
And
I'll do everything I can to help you if you're sincere and real about it.
Yeah, and the cool part is, so that did something in me. So when we do our next episode, one of the things we're going to be talking about is like what Dr. Matt talked about, seeing others grow, helping getting others to where their calling is and where they need to be, which you don't see often. Normally, it's all about that one individual. When you see individuals who are willing to say, hey, you've got a calling on your life. I want to help train you up and get you equipped so you can go out and be who God calls to be. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And we need to see more of that in this day and age. So what we're going to do is we're going to end this show, and I'd love to have you, Dr. Matt, if you mind praying, because we're reaching people all around the world. So just pray for the people.
Yeah. Praying for your listeners right now.
Yeah.
Anything that they may be facing that may be tripping them up in their call, in their faith, their step of faith that they need to take, or the unveiling of the dream and destiny upon their life. I just speak blessing to you and just say right now that you get stirred with inside by the Holy Spirit. And that he reminds you of the promises that he put in your life, and that the garbage and other stuff that's being heaped on you by just walk of life comes off of you, and that truly the light that's in you begins to radiate and you taste victory. And the spirit of being defeated is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Hope arises. You don't give up. You're not alone. 7,000 other haven't bowed their knee to Baal.
Amen.
Get a hold of people that can speak into you. You can speak into them in a powerful way that brings an unlocking of what you carry, and not fear-based, not sin-conscious, not guilt-ridden, but that you can actually walk in the freedom of God, and that you know that, you know what? You've been faithful with little. God will make you ruler of much. I just speak that blessing on you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, well, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. Matt.
Come on, man.
For letting me hang out in your studio. And we're going to do one more. But thank you all for tuning in. Hope you really enjoyed it. Got a lot to tell you. I'm going to leave some links in the bottom. That way you'll be able to see where you can connect with Dr. Matt and his amazing wife. The two of them are amazing. But want to get you guys connected with them. Don't forget to share with friends, family, and even a stranger. Don't forget to subscribe. And hey, if you're watching this on Kingdom Community TV, thank you so much. Make sure you share that as well. Hey, with that being said, love you all. God bless. Take care of yourselves. Peace.